So I feel that in that way, commitment, how you say things, how you act, together with leadership, that's so important to me.
Hello and welcome back to the Arena Podcast by Kauffman Fellows, where we dive deep into the stories of some of the most fabled names in VC. I'm your producer, Nihar Nilakanti, and this podcast is hosted by Jeff Harbach, CEO of Kauffman Fellows. Joining us in today's episode is Rei Hatoyama, a venture partner at Sozo Ventures and a Kauffman Fellow from Class 22. We can't wait to share his story with you, so let's get right to it.
All right, welcome back to the Kauffman Fellows podcast. We are in the arena today with Rei Hatoyama, a Kauffman Fellow from Class 22. Rei, your bio, I got to read it here, which says, Rei is currently a venture partner at Sozo Ventures, where he helps bridge U.S. companies interested in expanding to Japan. He sits on the board of three publicly listed companies, Line, Pigeon, and Transcosmos. He's an advisor to the Pokemon Company and Sony Music. Previously, he led the expansion of Hello Kitty, helping take companies the company's market cap from $500 million to over $3.5 billion. And of course, you're a Kauffman Fellow from Class 22, and you are a wicked DJ. Rei, you might be one of the most interesting people I've ever met.
Thank you very much for saying that.
I'm excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you. So
Rei, tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now. What is the current day look like for Rei Hatoyama?
Yes. So right now I'm involved in a lot of things. I see myself as a lot of diversified person. So yes, definitely. Well, one of the reasons why I live in Palo Alto is I want to be close to startups, new technology. Sozo Ventures is my foundation to help a lot of bigger companies going into Japanese market, helping startups to partnership Japanese companies, especially large companies. But at the same time, I love seed companies, A companies as well too. I sit on their advisory board, help them launch their company from zero to one. Some of the companies, for example, Mythical Games, they are trying to make blockchain work on gaming. Brainbase is a company who's want to make a licensing system. And I'm especially focused on entertainment company who wants to do something, and I'm helping those companies. But at the same time, as you mentioned, I sit on the larger companies board in Japan. I'm advising Louis Vuitton for their fund investing into brands. I'm helping a lot of different kind of things, and I enjoy my free life.
You have a busy, busy schedule, my friend, and a very interesting one at that. So let's we're going to get into and talk about a lot of these different companies that you work with and invested in. But let's go back to the beginning. So tell us, you're from Japan. Tell us where you were born. Tell us about your family and your family background.
Yes, I was born in Tokyo, but when I was in kindergarten, I moved to Boston because of my father's school. He was at the time going to have a law school. And then after that, we moved to Japan. And a couple of years later, we moved to Sydney and then moved back to Tokyo. So I think I had a really diversified little school experience at the time. I couldn't really speak Japanese when I went back to Japan when I was 10 years old. So nobody at the time considered me as Japanese. But at the same time, I was born at one of the very conservative family in Japan, which was Hatoyama family. My great-grandfather was founder of Sony. My other great-grandfather was the Prime Minister of Japan. So I think I was luckily born outside of Japan. That's why I think I enjoyed the freedom. But at the same time, my Japanese life after 10 years old was really restricted. So I think I'm a combination of a person who have both like freedom, but also can cope with a lot of restricted situation or tough situation. And I think that's what's unique in my side.
How did you deal with, that's a very publicly known family that you come from in Japan, very well known, well respected. How did you growing up in that, even being born in, or not being born, but raised in the U.S. How did you deal with some of the maybe the expectations or what maybe expectations that other people would put on you because you are a Hatoyama? What was that like for you growing up?
Yeah, I think it's probably similar in the U.S. like Kennedy family. So if you've grown up in Kennedy
that's
family.
That's a pretty big comparison.
Yes, that's what Wikipedia says. So yeah. okay, you're expected to be the prime minister at a certain point. Yeah, you go into politics. You will go to like the best school in Japan. You were supposed to behave, have the best grade, but I have none of it. So, and I didn't recognize that luckily until 10 years old. So that didn't really define my definition of who I am. So in that point, I was lucky. Instead of focusing on schoolworks, I was focused more on fashion, especially music industry. When I was 10, 11, 12 years old, those were the culture of 80s and 90s. And that was the age of hip hop and rock. I've seen Beastie Boys with rock, and those combination has emerged as an innovation in music industry. Walk This Way was one of the song I was really shocked with Aerosmith playing with Run DMC. And you see all those innovation. I grew up with the Beatles, and then suddenly you see those mixed culture. And that comes with also a skateboard scene. So I was into skateboard myself and snowboard as well too. And then you go to culture, like the fashions, the bands, what you wear. And that kind of phenomenon all is in my base of what I do now.
Those are a lot of, those music and entertainment plays a big role in your life and is a big influence for you. How did you come about that? What was kind of the first time that something clicked for you with music or with fashion? Or I mean, you've gotten yourself into so many different eclectic areas. What was that first trigger point for you?
I think when I was in Tokyo, I had opportunity to meet Run DMC when I was, I think it was 12 years old.
Wow.
At the top floor of a Japanese department store. And I think that was too shocking. And 12 years old, cannot go to concerts, you can't really buy. But at the same time, the real-time experience really changed. Oh, this is something what I want to seek for. At the time, I wanted to be a musician. I still have a moment when I want to be a musician again. But the real experience seeing that was really something that I was missing. And also not to mention, I grew up in the US and Australia, and I was missing all those kind of things. And you suddenly meet up with the cross-culture experience again in Japan. So I think that was the time as I was suffering how to become Japanese or how to behave. And then you see this hip-hop culture and hip-hop people not really on the conservative side, but trying to change and enjoying their life. So I think the moment I thought, nah, this might be something I want to seek.
And in your path, part of your path was going back to Harvard, where your dad went to law school and you actually went to business school at Harvard. What was that experience like for you, and what role did that play in your journey?
I think I was missing something. I thought education was always important. And as I mentioned, I didn't have a good education experience until like Harvard and university. I was okay, but that didn't really shine. So I think to shine back myself or to gain back my confidence, I really thought I need to go to Harvard. And if it wasn't Harvard, that there's no meaning about it. So I think that was really important. And there, I thought I needed to behave as well too. I mean, I need to learn about the business and become like an entrepreneur. Those were some of the things I thought I'm going to go there and learn. But at the same time, I met this professor called Anita Elbers. And she was writing a case about Lady Gaga or like Disney. And now she writes about like House of Cards, WWE, Netflix. So all like sports, like baseball, like tennis player. And now you realize that even with Harvard, you see a lot of people seriously talking about entertainment as business or something to study. And that was a game changer. Then I thought about like Japan as well too, and what are the things Japan can really make it global. And one of that was Hello Kitty. So I started to do Hello Kitty study with Anita Elvis when I was at university. And then after graduation, I entered this Hello Kitty company called Sanrio.
So tell us about that, Sanrio. What was your experience like there? Tell us how you started there and kind of the journey with Sanrio.
So Sanrio was one of the company I was dealing with as a Mitsubishi Corporation guys. I worked there 10 years and we had a strategic alliance over there. So I was helping their business. And at the time, Sanrio was almost bankrupt. So their market cap when I entered was 500 million. Their total debt was 300 million, and they were making no profit. So my wife's mother was saying, why do you go to Sanrio after graduating Harvard Business School?
What are you doing?
And many people are opposed to that, my decision about going there, because it wasn't the right company or the good company at least at that time. But I thought it was a chance, especially starting with Anita, about how can you really dynamically change entertainment into like business? And also, how do you aim global market as well too? So I took that opportunity. Since it was a bankrupt situation or a turnaround situation, I had a lot of authority to change things and manage things. Immediately after joining the company, I was the COO of US operation. And I stopped retail business and shifted to licensing business and started to ship Hello Kitty goods to Target, Walmart, Toys R Us, and others. And also, it was a time change. Facebook was getting bigger. Twitter started to play. So digital was my focus as well, too, how to really utilize that. And also, there was a momentum about celebrities. Like Paris Hilton was there, and how can we get into that kind of momentum? And we were the first one to, for example, partnership with Lady Gaga when she wasn't really so big at the moment, but we were lucky enough to make a partnership over there. And all those kind of things blew up. And in 5 years, the market cap became over 6 billion, 13 times larger, profitability plus EBITDA was over 200 million. And we increased U.S. market to over 2 billion market size for Hello Kitty goods, Europe 3 billion, and Asia 2 billion, while Japan was a billion plus. So I think it really turned into global company, and that's what I am proud of and one of the foundation of what I do right now.
What an amazing journey. And then you, what was after? Tell us about kind of leaving Sanrio, leaving then... what you're doing with Hello Kitty, what was that like? What did you do next?
Yeah, so Japanese people, to begin with, I think they usually sit in one company for life, 40 years, 50 years. If you will see people from like Toyota, they are there forever. And if you meet their executive, they have been there forever. So I thought Hello Kitty as well too, that's going to be my final company. I'll climb up, probably become the CEO. I was ready to go back into Japan to really lead the company to the next stage. One of the projects I was working was Hello Kitty movie. So I really wanted to finish that up. Unfortunately, the person who employed me, who was the COO of the company, the son of the founder, passed away. And then everything changed. It was three top with the chairman and the founder, still the chairman and the founder. He's 92 years old right now. And then the son was at that time 60 years old. I was 40. And the three top, it was really working well. But since his son passed away, I couldn't really deal with the CEO anymore. It was very difficult for me to have the authority to have the conversation. And I was forced to leave. So that was a very hard experience just because you built something big. You thought you were doing good. And I think there was an argument from stockholders or the media, I should be the next CEO. But I think that honestly threat to the founder family. And I thought the best is to leave. So that was really tough after making such a big impact to the world or to the company or who believed in what I was doing, but I needed to leave, and really tough. But that was the time when I met a lot of different kind of people. Since I didn't have so much to do in the company, I started meeting a lot of company, and that was since I was living here, one of the people I met was Cole. Cole Nakamura. He is the founder and partner of Sozo Ventures, and I was the first LP for his fund, which was founded 7 years ago. And he said, venture capital, he has been doing a lot of entrepreneurs, there might be a room to put a lot of different kind of resources that you have. And I met Phil Wickham after that, and Phil mentioned, venture capitalist is one of the job you can do a lot of things at the same time. You are so talented, you have so much resources, why do you work for one company? And as a Japanese person, I only worked in two companies in 20 years, and I was really worried because I need to choose the third one. That was the kind of the notion I had as a Japanese person, but becoming a venture capitalist, or at least learning that, I thought that is something what I really want to do. And also that reminded me the relationship with Silicon Valley. I was living in Palo Alto, but at the same time, I had nothing to do with technology. I mean, I had some, but I wasn't really working on technology. And then I remembered about my grandfather, who was the founder of Sony. And he talking about his relationship with Dr. Shockley. He was the first, one of the first Japanese company to have a license of transistor radio from Dr. Shockley. And he was working with Bell Institute to make radio as an OEM. And he was sending a sample, which he was asked, radio of a Gulf War. And then he was sending a lot of sample, and the Bell continued to say, there's no sample. What happened? And my grandfather was saying, I already sent you. And the one time they had a call and recognized the Bell was not sure Sony was sending was the size of the Gulf War. So they thought it will never work. And then they turned on the switch and it worked. So I think since Bell had a notion that Sony cannot do that, they never actually turned on the switch, which they already been happening. And Sony's founder was talking about this all the time, and that was the wild moment for Sony when they had started reputation in Silicon Valley. And I heard that story, but it didn't really sit on me until recently. I thought, sir, I need to be involved in these kind of wow moments. And that's when I thought I need to be more involved in startup or venture, or I want to stay here more.
You know, you talked about, I love the story, and you talked about failure, and you talked about the setback from being essentially asked to leave from a company that you've spent so much time in, that you were so influential in. And you made that be a good situation for you. It opened your eyes to other things, and you learned things from it. But I want to dive in just really quickly on the feeling of that failure. What did that do for you? You know, founders every day deal with failure. Sometimes they are asked to leave their companies. This is something that we as humans don't always deal with in the best way. How did you deal with your failure? How did you get up the very next morning when you knew that this is going to be what needed to happen?
I think there's two things I did. One was to talk with a friend. So I did talk with one of my friends is Casa Yunis. He has a startup right now. At that time, he was the COO of Y Combinator. So I think he was good on analyzing my situation. And also, since we have been friends for over 10 years, he was making me write a lot of things on my situation. My relationship with the founder, and not only the founder, but like your family, or like the players you might be not looking into. Is there like colleagues who's supporting you, or who's trying to knock you down from the back? And all those kind of analysis helped me to understand a little bit from further what my situation is. in a very tough situation, you only think about yourself, and you tend to think many people are acting on their behalf, and yeah, sometimes you feel everybody's mean. But I think they have the reason. If you understand the reason, it's always understandable to a certain extent. That really helped me well. And other is, I think, to start to talk with the people who are far from you. And you recognize you are in a very close industry. I was doing all Hello Kitty. And right now, even looking back, I can't remember why I was so excited with Hello Kitty. I don't even like Hello Kitty. And there's so many other opportunities. Now I'm working, for example, with Pokemon, and I love it. Yes, but at the same time, you feel like Hello Kitty is the only thing you have. But looking around, there's so many other things you can really work on, and you miss those opportunities. So maybe that's something really lucky to be forced to go around. You have other opportunities. You have other options.
Great advice. Great advice. So you now you're in venture capital. You are not someone who is now just working in one or two companies for your entire life. You're working with many different companies. How's that? Tell us about what you're doing with Sozo and kind of in your venture career and how that's a fit for you. How's that fitting for you right now?
Yeah, I think there's three things I'm good at. One is more about technology, new companies. And the other is working at conventional larger companies. And Sozo is a platform where I can work with larger companies, such as Mitsubishi Corporation. And I think the culture, the language, there's so many gaps. But at the same time, there's so many great technology and also great startups here, which is more on the later stage, who wants to go to global. And Sozo is a really great foundation to help those kind of stages, and I love it. And at the same time, I think, as I mentioned, I think entertainment and also like startups on entertainment, they tend to fly high at the moment they have the success. So I think it becomes a little bit earlier, and also you need expert on that. So those are the places I do myself, and where I enjoy myself as well too.
Ray, you've had an incredible life and career. What are maybe some of the most impactful experiences you've had in your life that shaped or have led you to where you are today?
I think, I always reflect back when somebody passed away. I think one of the things I already talked was one of the founder family of Sanrio. But in my high school days, my father passed away. And at university, my grandfather passed away. And I think in the early stage of my life, I experienced people passing away. And as a family, you feel there's nothing you can do. And also, you become impactful, especially when your father passes away. How do you live? Because you have no earnings. And you can't really help your mother as well. So I think I became a lot independent. Money is important for me because I struggled in earlier life at a certain point. And also I think you don't want to waste your time just because you don't know when you are going to pass away yourself. It happens a lot. So you don't want to regret. And also I think you want to be good to the family, or you want to always think about the backup plan when something happens to you. I want to care for my family. So those are, I think, the things which dramatically change, and that's dramatically different from other people.
And those experiences, those formative experiences, have brought you to a place where your beliefs, your values, your philosophies have been formed through them. One of them that I know is important to you is this idea of leadership and commitment. Maybe talk about that and talk about why that's important to you.
Yes. I think you always have a chance to have leadership in any stages. I don't think a leadership is something which CEO always have. I think everybody can take different kind of leadership. And I strongly believe in that. And leadership is at the same time, I think, the commitment or the promises, just saying word, and even to your kids or your friends, you say one word, and if you're committed to that, I think that brings trust. So when I make promises, I really hate that not happening. And speaking out sometimes is tough, but speaking one thing in a room sometimes changes everything. And I like that kind of moment when I have an impact and change the dynamics in a better way. And those small things will, but I believe in those small things will change the world, how people interact together. And I think that's part of maybe from the responsibility I feel as a human or my family, but I just feel like I don't want to betray people. I have been betrayed a lot, in other words to say, but and I just feel like the world or the action you take is the only thing you can prove yourself. So I feel that in that way, commitment, how you say things, how you act together with leadership, that's so important to me.
What's your experience been like in Kauffman Fellows, and what role has Kauffman Fellows played in your journey?
Yes, I think Kauffman Fellows, there was two things I was expecting. One is that for me, it's going to be a lifetime changer, how to become a venture capitalist and learn about that. And that was one of the things I think I've learned a lot. I'm still learning together with all my friends in the class, the experience I had, and that's just the beginning. But at the same time, I think it's a great platform on learning something. I believe in education, like I had a life changer at Harvard Business School, and Kauffman is the same way. An executive educational experience for me to learn and turn into a real venture capitalist. And the other was I was figuring in myself what kind of career I need to create or what kind of human I need to be. And the Kauffman Fellow was a good opportunity to reflect that back. And at the end, it was similar to what I experienced at Harvard Business School. I don't need to be a venture capitalist. I mean, I need to be just myself. That was, I think, yes. And that leads me to venture capital, but or venture capitalist. It's a funny way, but I think the zone of genius, for example, for me is connecting technology to entertainment. And that's something I thought it's not fit for venture capital, but that's how I can make difference. And I think the understanding myself was probably the short way to be a venture capitalist. And that's, I think, the biggest learning I have. I can be myself and I can do what I believe in. And still, I probably can fulfill what I want to do if I'm not wrong.
Ray, you've met a lot of interesting people in your life. You've been around a lot of interesting people. Maybe give us one or two of the most interesting people you've met and why they were interesting for you. You talked about you met Run DMC, mm-hmm. but tell us about the maybe one or two people that you've met that have been the most interesting.
Yeah, so for the recent run, for example, I met on the street Pharrell Williams, and he's so humble, a very humble guy, and I met him a couple times in the past as well too, but every time I meet him, he's so inspirational. He doesn't talk a lot, but at the same time, I ask him, for example, whether he's interested in making a song for Detective Pikachu, the Pokemon movie. And he said, oh, I'm very interested. So I connected him with Nigo, Bobo, a Japanese rap artist, and now the movie is on. The song is at the ending role right now, but I think it's interesting. I just met him on the streets a couple months ago, and these kind of things happen. And I think it's really interesting. People like that you meet on the street, and you can make music together, and that kind of things happens. I think that happens on any kind of situation. But I think the one thing I'm amazed is his humbleness, and also the action to be fast. And that's, I think, the recent event. I was very impressed.
Ray, you're an amazing fellow, an amazing human being, and we're grateful to have you as a Coffin Fellow. Any last words for the listeners here?
Yes, so we have graduation in the next couple of days, and I'm looking forward to meet all my friends. And also, I think I'm going to be doing DJ over there. So I think I'm very happy to share my music experience over there too.
I guarantee you that we are happy to have you share your DJing experience with us. Ray Hatoyama, thank you so much for joining us in the arena.
Thank you very much.
Hey listeners, thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the Arena Podcast. As always, you can get notified of the latest release by subscribing to our newsletter found in the description of this episode or by visiting fellows.org. That's all for now. We'll catch you in the arena next week.